Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Ezekiel Elliott, even though Jerry Jones didn't want to call it a holdout, he said he's late to camp. Let's call it. It's a holdout. He wants to get paid.
It's a holdout.
Right? It's a holdout.
It's a holdout.
And some people are saying, oh, he shouldn't be doing that. Cowboys got a chance to win. He's got 2 years left on a contract with that he signed and has $13 million left on that contract. He's saying, I'm a big part on why the Cowboys are the Cowboys and why they have a chance and why the Cowboys, Mark, you know, have won two of the last three NFC East titles because Ezekiel Elliott, I believe, is the stir that stirs the drink even more so than Dak Prescott. You can look at the record. Look it up for yourself. The Cowboys are way better when Ezekiel Elliott is in the lineup.
No, it's one of the few teams in the NFL where the run sets the pass. The run sets up the pass in the Dallas Cowboys offense. You can say whatever you want, but that's the way it is. Because even if he doesn't run, even if Zeke Elliott is acting as a decoy, even if he's catching passes out of the backfield, you have to pay full attention to him. And that leaves Dak Prescott with other guys to do some of the things that have made them successful.
No doubt about it. But, Mark, here's the problem. A lot of people just don't believe in the holdouts. We had Drew Pearson, of course, former Dallas Cowboy wide receiver, saying that he thinks that he should show up and show the team that they need him and that he's there for them and hopefully they'll get a deal done.
Right, whatever.
And I don't see that.
It's old-timey, okay? It's an old-time thing. Even the holdouts have gone on forever. But I'll give you some more fuel for the fire. Here's one other thing we didn't talk about when we talk about the demise of the running back and why running backs have to get their money now, which is what Le'Veon Bell did and actually got himself healthy for a year, which might have ended up being the best thing he could have done. We'll see what happens with that down the line. However, Rob, last year, if I'm not mistaken, 9 guys gained 1,000 yards. Okay?
Right.
9. And some just barely got there. And a couple of people you might not even have heard of, or barely. 2002, 17 years ago, different eras. I'm giving you a whole, almost a generation. How many 1,000-yard rushers do you think there were that year?
In 2002, I'd say 20.
It wasn't 1902. Almost. 17.
Yep. I took a guess.
So you had double the amount back then. It's getting to be a premium. And I know this has been kind of a theme today for me. I'm on this kick with the devaluation of the running back in the NFL. Because you're bringing up Zeke Elliott. I wouldn't talk about it. But because of that fact, if he doesn't get it, look, he's not doing this on his own. He's got a team of people who are bringing the same numbers up that I am. And when I say to you that there are 3 big-time names right now, and just 3, in the NFL at that position, when I say Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, Zeke Elliott, and then you can go down to the next guys. The next guys are Joe Mixon. These are off the numbers. Chris Carson and Christian McCaffrey, because Le'Veon didn't even play last year. So that's your next tier. Is that blowing anything up your skirt, Rob?
No.
I mean, they're not bad.
Right.
I'm not saying they're bad. I mean, I like McCaffrey. I mean, Carson. Mixon certainly had his problems.
But here's the other thing. That team, and it's a fact, is just way better when he's involved, and that's why I don't understand. And Jerry Jones, Mark, I know he's already been put into the Hall of Fame and he won 3 Super Bowls as the owner of the Cowboys. But boy, it's been a long time since Jerry took the reins and they haven't won anything.
23 years.
Just think about that. And he desperately would like to win again to prove that he knows something about football and that he could do it.
Rob,
because when Jimmy Johnson left, things changed.
Well, Barry Switzer did win one.
Yeah, but those with Jimmy had already had the team set.
I got you. But if I had told you in the middle 90s, after Switzer won their 3rd with Aikman and Emmett and
right, Novacek, it was already set up for him.
If I told you that that team would win how many playoff games all the way to 2019 to 20?
What is it, 3?
3, 2, 3. just playoff games, not more titles, not more Super Bowls. Just playoff games. You would have told me I was crazy. You would have thought it was nuts if I did that right after that third Super Bowl.
No, they had a dynasty. They won 3 out of 4. It was all about the Cowboys. And remember, Jerry Jones made those hard decisions. We talked about Jeter earlier. Remember, who'd he fire, Mark, when he bought the team? Tom Landry.
Fired Tom Landry. First thing out of the box.
It sent shockwaves through the NFL.
First thing out of the box. Because they still thought that he would hold on to Landry for a year or two. And then, nope. In fact, Landry never got over it. Landry was PO'd, okay? If you ever see anything about Tom Landry on NFL Network or front stuff, you know, on some of the those retrospectives, not a happy man, the way that ended there. He thought he deserved better. So that's how Jerry Jones' legacy began. And it's right now, it's almost ending as bad.
Right. Especially.
I don't know. That's another question. How long does Jason Garrett go with this free ride?
Right. Well, this is it. I mean, I think he got, because they've won 2 or 3 divisions, is what's held those guys there.
That's not what, we talk about certain teams not built to just do something. The Cowboys, divisions are 3 or 4 other teams. You win the NFC North, you beat 3 teams. You know, 3, 4 teams. Divisions are not what he's about.
No, I agree with you. But there we are. There's another story in the NFL we want to get to, Mark, and that is Eli Manning, who pushed back on OBJ. Odell Beckham Jr., dude, he's a great receiver. But he is a bit... full of himself from the standpoint that he thinks that everything started with the Giants. Once he got there, he forgot that they've actually won 2 Super Bowls before he got there. And we have some quotes about this. This is from Eli, Rob G.
Well, yeah, just for a little backstory, Rob, this is what Odell said in that GQ magazine.
And then we have Eli, okay.
He said, quote, "I felt disrespected because I felt like I was a main reason keeping that brand alive. They were getting primetime games as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people wanted to see the show. You want to see me play. That's just real rap," end quote. Well, Eli Manning was on NFL Network yesterday, and his response was as follows.
Did his comments about he was the reason you guys were on TV bother you?
I don't think they bothered me. You just kind of shake your head and laugh.
You're laughing?
I mean, I think those 2 rings had a little bit to do with why they're on TV.
We won a few games before he was here.
A couple of them. Yeah.
And you know what? Eli is right. You could say whatever you want. I think he's washed up. He should have been cut a couple years ago, moved on. I'll say that. But, Mark, you can't take away those 2 Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady and the Patriots twice. He won the MVP twice. He made big throws to win the games twice. You could talk all you want about all the bad years, all the interceptions, all the other stuff. You can't take away what Eli did. And for Odell Beckham Jr., the Giants made the playoffs 1 time in his, 6 or 7 years there? Right? 1 time in 6 years? Dude, stop. Let it go. The Giants have a brand. Mark, you know what I've never seen in the history of my life? I've never seen a newspaper ad where the Giants are selling tickets. Never. There are no tickets to buy. What is he talking about?
Well, I mean, Pat Shurmur is very happy to hear that. And, you know, I'm always a big Pat Shurmur guy. But I'm hearing a little get off my lawn with you there, dude.
What are you saying?
I'm hearing a little, here's a little get off my lawn, kids. Because I like Odell Beckham's toot. I think this can coexist. Now, I will say this about Eli Manning. I love the quote. I'm going to say it again because I want to add something. I won a few games before he was here. Snap! I loved it. You know why? Because that was the most animated. I watched that. That was the most animated I've seen Eli Manning in 15 years. It took this long for Eli to get kind of out of the brother's shadow and kind of get the hokum yokum, oh, shucks, I'm, you know, Archie Manning's kid and I've been played at Mississippi, you know.
Right.
That was the first big-time New York kind of interview I think I've ever seen with Eli Manning. And to his credit, I mean, that's what he is. He was not going to be that guy coming out of college and through his pro career. But I think towards the end here, whether he's washed up or not, he's finally taken some bull by the horns. So I like the fact he kind of gave it to Beckham, but I got no problem with Odell Beckham, with giving a little at, this is what's wrong with the NFL again. We get back to this idea, guys shouldn't have personality.
No, it's not about personality, Mark.
But Rob,
please.
Part of personality is ego.
But this ego is out of control. He didn't do anything. They didn't win anything with Odell Beckham, and I don't sound like an old man.
Hey, you damn kids, get off my lawn!
That's not me.
Well, I wouldn't blame a receiver because of the Giants' woes.
No, but I'm just saying, Mark, please.
They had a lot of problems.
There's nothing wrong with being confident and all that, but you're bashing a guy who won two Super Bowls and saying basically that he didn't do anything, and the only reason people care about...
I'm going to give Robert Park a little of his own medicine. God, Rob, he had his parades. We've given the parades for the Super Bowl.
I'm not celebrating him, but you don't have to diss him on his way out like he didn't accomplish anything.
I'm not dissing.
That's what OBJ's doing.
I think that the attitude of Beckham and the way Eli presented himself yesterday can coexist in the same NFL. I kind of like both of them. This isn't a waffle. I'm not asking for syrup for my waffle.
I think you know I want no waffling. Boy, that's some liquidy.
I don't know what
syrup.
That was.
Was that syrup? That was too liquidy.
I'm looking at the time. No, it's still early. But I think that those two kinds of attitudes, both Mannings, it's not a diss to Eli at all. Two Super Bowls cannot be touched. We got it.
No, but Mark, the idea he's talking about, the only reason they were on national TV because they wanted to see.
Well, that may be true. And I don't think national TV people want to see Eli Manning.
Mark, the Giants, no matter what, the Giants are going to be on national television. It's the top TV market. They're going to put the Giants on even when they were bad, Mark. The Giants have always been on.
Well, I haven't heard.
No, yes or no?
But that goes back to Parcells.
Because they're playing the Redskins. There's some.
Well, they're dug in, though, Rob. They're dug in that way from the NFL. They're dug in as a TV team. They're dug in. They go back. That's what happened. That Parcells started it and kind of remains even in bad times.
No doubt about it. I just think that
the Jets should be so lucky with Adam Gase.
But enough,
they should be so lucky.
It's just enough with Odell, okay, dude. You're in Cleveland. Embrace that. Stop talking about the Giants.
And I don't know the numbers on this. I just know it's true. He has sold the amount of jerseys that I would like to know if Beckham's either one or two or he's up there. And as soon as that went on sale in Cleveland, they went like hotcakes. Rob, are you hearing me? They sold like hotcakes.
Okay.
Because they love him. The average fan loves the guy. Or at least the more hip-hop fan loves the guy.
I get it. He's a great player. That is not even my issue. He's a great player. He talks too much. Everything's not about you. It just isn't. Enough.
What did you want him to do? Tell him how great Eli Manning was back in the day when he got parades
for
the Super Bowl?
No, move on. You don't have to talk about it. Move on. Just move on.
Well, I think that's him answering questions, though.
You don't have, Mark, because somebody asked you a question doesn't mean you have to.
I understand.
You know what you could say? You could say, thank you, but I'm good. You know what? What's great is my time in New York, but I'm here in Cleveland now. Let's talk about the Browns. I'm very excited to be here. I got high expectations. I'm hoping we do something special here. I'm done with New York. That's all you have to say.
Well, you just heard Corey Coleman's out with a torn ACL out for the season. Sterling Shepard has a fractured thumb.
Yeah, they lost two receivers.
I mean, two of their receivers are Golden Tate and Benny Fowler.
Benny Fowler from Michigan State.
From Michigan State, and what's his claim to fame? He's the guy who caught Peyton Manning's last pass.
That's right.
In the Super Bowl.
And he caught it with a butterfly net.
It was the two-point conversion, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
With the butterfly net?
Yes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mark Wilson, it's hard to imagine that anybody had a better major league career from start to finish than Derek Jeter with the New York Yankees. Played 20 years, was rookie of the year, won an MVP, in the World Series, won 5 championships, got over 3,000 hits, hit over 300 for his lifetime, made spectacular plays, jumping in the stands. I don't know what else you could say that Derek Jeter didn't do during his playing career, but I'll tell you what. His post-playing career as an owner of the Miami Marlins has not been good, to say the least.
Well, first of all, I mean, his ownership is kind of minor compared to the idea that he's the front man. And his name is on the Marlins now. And yes, you're absolutely right. For starting, well, I go back, remember, in high school. So literally from 1994 till he finished that final day when number two called it a career, and we're waiting now for the big one, get his rightful due, that he had this kind of stellar rep. He was a good guy in the room. He was the captain. He was everything you want and seven bags of chips, right?
Right.
I mean, Rob, you and I looked forward to the Yankees coming to town so I could have a moment or two with D. Jeets. As the Marlins owner, I would have a hard time dealing with him because now they're better, but I would have a hard time dealing with him because he's done some things that are very suspect. And I don't know where you're going. You're trying to tell me something here. Maybe you're gonna fill me in as to where you're going with this.
Well, it's real simple.
Okay, I'm waiting. I'm listening, Ron.
There you go. But Mark,
yes,
he had the great career as a player, and now he's getting beat up on regularly. First of all, as soon as he took over and started making the baseball decisions, they got rid of all their star players. All the star players, including Stan, who had signed that big 13-year contract, they got rid of him. They got rid of a ton of guys and basically decided that they're not going to be competitive, that they're going to strip down their franchise and start all over. This is the Marlins. People can laugh all they want, Mark. What team that's won two World Series in the last 20 years are you laughing at? It's the Marlins.
They've won twice, even though some say, of course, that they bought the darn thing in 97.
Mark, but they've won twice.
They've got two World Series rings. Jim Leland has one, and I think it's Jimmy McKeon. Jack McKeon, Jim McKeon. Jack McKeon, who got the other one.
Exactly. But since then, and now today, Mark, you can say whatever you want. Next year, we saw Mariano Rivera got in to the Hall of Fame, Yankee closer, unanimously, the first player in the history of the NFL. Derek Jeter.
MLB.
In MLB, I'm sorry. And here we go. Derek Jeter is eligible next year. We know he's getting into the Hall of Fame.
Only question is Only question is if it will be unanimous.
Exactly. But here's the other part. So today, Hall of Famer, Andre Dawson, who used to work for the Marlins and play for the Marlins, and Tony Perez, but mostly Andre Dawson, said that they won't
May boycott.
May boycott it, and we got the quote. Rob G has the quote from Andre Dawson. His quote was strong. Tony said he was still thinking about it because it's so far in advance. Rob G, what you got?
That's right. Andre was talking to our friend Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. He said, quote, "I sincerely doubt that I will attend at this point. All indications are likely not. I can't speak for Tony, but I don't have a sense or feeling like I want to sit on that stage to hear what Jeter has to say," end quote.
And Mark, they are very bitter because when Jeter took over, now here's the part. You can't be mad at Jeter and his people when they take over a new organization. They're going to bring their own people. Tony Perez and Andre Dawson were from the leftover regime, right? But I guess the problem was they were offered for them to keep their jobs. Are you ready for this, Mark?
I am.
Take a pay cut from $85,000 to $25,000.
Right.
And then the restrictions were you can't go into the Major League clubhouse. These are Hall of Famers. They don't want them in the Major League clubhouse. And that during spring training, they couldn't be in uniform. What? Hello? Is this on?
Hold on,
missing, Mark?
First of all, number one, Jeter knew when he took the Marlins thing that he had to be a hatchet man. There was going to be some bad times.
Okay? There's no doubt. I'm with you on that.
And I don't care what organization or franchise you're running. There's going to be bad stuff going on. You're not going to be the most liked guy in the room.
Because you're going to make changes.
Some unpopular ones. But let me just say this about one of those two particular athletes. Andre Dawson has always had a darn chip on his shoulder. And it goes back to 1987, the collusion year, when Andre Dawson had to give the Cubs a blank check because nobody would sign him.
Do you remember that? That was awesome.
And the Cubs said $500,000.
Can you imagine that?
Dawson goes on to hit 49 homers.
He was the MVP on a bad team.
On a last place team. Okay? So starting at the 500, now to get back to the money he wants, it took him forever. In fact, I'm not even looking at this, and I know this. When he finally got to Boston is when he finally made his most money, and that was at 39.
Right.
He made about $4.5 million, $4.8 million, something like that. That was the most money, Andre Dawson, and then he had to take a hit when he went to the Marlins because he finished his last 2 years as a player right before the World Series. He got out the year before. I mean, Hawk only went to two playoffs, 89 Cubs and 81 Expos. And I think that has always stayed with him. So he's got this chip anyhow. And so, of course, here comes Jeter, Mr. Hall of Famer himself. Obviously, Hawk's in the Hall of Fame. And he doesn't like what Jeter does to him. So Andre Dawson rears his ugly head. Now, Tony Perez, you know Tony Perez better than I.
I know him from Cincinnati, absolutely.
Obviously, one of the big red machine, a great player. Sparky loved him, Sparky Anderson. I don't know if Tony Perez harbors that same kind of feeling, that attitude that Hawk has always kind of had since 87, since that happened to him. I'm assuming not. So that's why maybe Tony Perez has been a little less adamant about not showing up for Jeter's big day in Cooperstown. But it doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't bother me that Andre Dawson doesn't show up.
Well, Mark, here's my point. I get the Jeter thing. You got to make changes. It's different. That's not – I'm not faulting him. But there is a degree of respect that you give players, especially Hall of Fame players. Mark, to say that you can't go into the Major League clubhouse or put on a uniform for spring training, something bothers
now,
me.
Rob,
there.
As I'm far just, as, no,
well,
no.
You're better off not offering the job.
No, I got you.
Thank you very much. You know what I mean? We're just making a change. And they say that they've never talked to Jeter personally.
Right, that they never talked to Jeter, but Jeter supposedly saw some error of his ways and actually had reversed himself. And even though he didn't do it personally, which was a mistake, he did agree if they wanted to come back, they could have come back. And then they just said no. And maybe it was money, whatever it was.
Yeah, well, you could
no.
come. But right. But after the fact, I'm just saying.
No, but you know what? I could see the mistake being made early on and you try to rectify the mistake. But if Jeter's not going to talk to him personally, I can't do anything about those two relationships. If you're going to hold that against him forever, I think it's misguided.
But do you think now, not only that, but the way he's running the Marlins, basically they're out. They get 8,000-10,000 people, which is embarrassing. The way that they run their franchise, they're going to strip it down and try to build from scratch and do, I guess, what the Astros did and some other teams have been trying to do. But, Mark, this is my only thing. He has taken a hit since he stopped playing. And I don't know if people look at him the same way. I guess that's my question. Is Derek Jeter, to me, had almost a perfect career. He did no, what wrong did he do, Mark, in 20 years playing on that stage in New York where he didn't make any missteps? He didn't have any missteps. He
wow.
always said the right thing.
Wasn't Minka Kelly part of it?
I don't know.
That might have been a misstep.
Was that a misstep?
That might have been.
But you know what I mean, out of 20 years of doing it.
Rob, I just told you, ever since he was at Kalamazoo Central High School, all the way through high school, and he was the chosen. He was the guy. And sure enough, you know, Mariano was just, you know how much he loves Jeter. They all love Jeter. So are you saying that you would have preferred that Derek Jeter had not been involved with the Marlins as an organization?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the way that it's come off. I understand why he wants to be a part owner. I'm not. I appreciate all.
Yeah, but that was going to be a no-win situation.
No, yes, there is, Mark. There's a way of handling stuff, and even if you're even honest and upfront with people that you know this hasn't worked, it's hard to tell people that spending money doesn't work. Mark, you won two championships. You want to look at the rosters that the Marlins had? They had
but
good players.
You can't compare 2003
I'm just
with
saying,
when Jeter took over the franchise.
Mark, people are supposed to spend their hard-earned money on a rebuild or with no stars when you got rid of all the great players?
No, I'm not even saying that what the Marlins did wasn't awful for the city of Miami, not that they were rushing out in droves anyhow. Because it was. It was.
Well, Mark,
it,
I get that. But I'm just saying you've made it to where people don't want to go. Derek Jeter's made it to where people in Miami aren't interested in the team.
Well, as soon as they dumped Yelich, I would have said I'm done with them.
Yelich and Stanton.
Realmuto.
Right. The list. They're all over on other teams doing big things.
You know, I would not probably pony up big money to see a Marlins game. Now, even though I think they're a little better than they were the last couple of years. They're not the worst team in baseball anymore. Now, if that's your gauge.
No, well, that's the Tigers, right? Is that
well,
what the Tigers are?
Yeah, it was the Tigers are at the complete bottom, and Baltimore got a big lift into the second part of the bottom. But Miami was right there the last three, 4 years, and they weren't doing much even with Stanton. before they dumped him. He was hitting a lot of homers. He was like the
Mark,
one. There was like a one-trick pony to go see him hit.
Yeah, but still, it's somebody worth going to see, a star. And you could act like, well, they're not going to win anything. But it does matter. Look at, you want to go and take a look at what the Padres have done attendance-wise when they went out and signed Manny Machado. They're around 500, Mark. They won't make the playoffs. But it's worth going to the ball game now. You got some stars to watch. Would you agree with that?
No doubt. And people in Philadelphia can say all they want, but Bryce Harper made a big difference.
They sold 100,000 tickets, Mark, in 24 hours.
And no matter what you say, that the Phillies are in the mix. They're in the mix to win the division. They're in the mix for a wild card.
No doubt about it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
My God.
Time now for the Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
And this one is special. Brandon Wellington from Orange is the New Black. And it's not often that a big-time celebrity actor star is a personal friend of mine. B, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Wow.
It's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Well, say hello also to Mark Wilson, my host today.
Mark Wilson, thank you for having me.
I want to now call you Be Well.
That's right.
You put us at the end. Be Well.
Be
Well. That's a true nickname.
Very nice. And here we are, the debut right of season 7, the final season of Orange is the New Black was released today. Tell me, Brandon, what about the buzz about the show, and how excited are people about this final season?
Listen, fans are extremely excited about the final season. We had the premiere last night at Lincoln Center right here in New York City where I'm located right now, and tons of fans came out to show their love and support. The online reception of it has been well already. As you know, this is Netflix's most watched show in history, their longest running original program. And so it's just been a lot of love following this show, the cast, the writers, creators, directors for the last 7 years. And it's just an honor to part of what's going to be a grand finale for those of you who have not tuned in and watched it yet.
I know Mark has watched it a lot. Mark loves that show.
I love the show because Laura Prepon is one of my all-time favorite human beings, though, B.
Listen, she's a star on camera and off camera, and she also directed a couple of episodes this season as well, last season too. So if you're tuning in, you want to make sure that you check those out as well. She's expanding her talents, continue going far with that. Love Laura. I got to speak to her last night. Such a great human being, as you say.
Brandon, for people who haven't seen this show, what role do you play on it? How much do you enjoy doing it? You got a big sports background. I'm going to get into that. But tell me about the show, what role you play, and are there any surprises we should be looking for?
You know, I don't – season 6, I can talk about that. It's not much of a spoiler for those of you if you've seen that since it's out as well. So I play T.O. Young, and as you know, the inmates, they go to the maximum security prison starting in season 6. And so I play one of the guards at Max. And what I love about it is that it's a world that I was a big fan of for 5 years before I joined it. So when I stepped into this world, to me, you know, I have to turn myself from being a fan to say, hey, these are my colleagues now. And you can't be starstruck in the time to show up and add value to the show that's already there that you love and know so much as well. So to be there for me was like a dream come true because I, like everyone else, I used to binge watch the show. You know, I followed a lot of the actors on Twitter and Instagram just to keep up with how it was going. So when I stepped into the world, you know, the thing for me was to just, you know, be good. Do no harm. Do no harm. That was my thought process.
Brandon, OITNB was so innovative when it came out. And like you just said, you were a fan before you were on it, which I still think is stellar that you have been able to be in both worlds. But what has it been that has driven this thing from the start where it was, I mean, it came out of nowhere and this thing just appeared and it was riveting. And it has stayed riveting the whole time.
Well, here's the beautiful thing about it, because Netflix had the foresight to invest in the show. It was shopped around at a couple of different networks. They said, no, Netflix just saw the opportunity, and they decided, hey, you know, let's put this with a new model that we're working with for streaming. And I think what really drove the show was that it was essentially the first of its kind. It had spearheaded the streaming circuit in a way.
Right.
It wasn't Netflix and chill wasn't a thing at first. Binge watching wasn't a thing at first. And I like to say, and the numbers support the fact that Orange is the New Black was at the forefront of that movie.
That was absolutely.
And also the unique casting, which, you know, shout out to Jennifer Houston. She won multiple Emmy Awards for her casting choices. It was the first time where you had saw so many different people from various backgrounds and cultures and all shapes and sizes being represented in a very big way on the big screen and in the script. And not only that, one thing I think that also drove it was that even guest star actors, and not just, you know, who was at the top of the call sheet, everyone had unique storylines that I felt people could dive into, and it covered a lot of tough political issues as well, too, such as unfair sentencing and inmates' rights and the things that they go through in the judicial system and how they have to fight their cases. And so it tackled it in a way that people had never seen before. You know, there's other big prison shows that have come out, but I think this tapped into something that people didn't know they wanted, but they needed.
Brandon Wellington is his name. He is, of course, an actor on Orange is the New Black, which was released today, and the seventh and final season on Celebrity Corner right here on The Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio, Rob Parker and Mark Wilson in for Chris Broussard. But you also are a big sports fan, and I think when you were the Mets, what do they call it?
In-game host
at Citi Field is when we met. And I think, Mark, if I'm correct, he attacked me because he's the biggest LeBron James fan. And he was like,
man,
he did not like my takes on LeBron James. Tell me about LeBron James. Is he better than Michael Jordan?
Well, first off, let me say this, Rock. You know, you're one of the people who paved the way for, I feel, a brother like me to have had an opportunity that he had at Citi Field when you were writing as well as a columnist. You know, you held it down. And, you know, I'm actually at Citi Field right now. I just got to a game. They're taking on the Pirates.
Very nice.
The, bottom of the second, 1-1 count.
Love it.
And to bring it back, yes, I'm a big basketball fan. Love LeBron James. Do I think he's better than Michael Jordan? I think he's a more complete player than Michael Jordan. When you take into account the passing, the shooting, the athleticism, and LeBron James has gotten snubbed on a lot of defensive honors. At the time, they were giving it a lot out to big men. There was primarily a big man award during that era when LeBron James was dominating and making track down, smack down thing. So I would even say defensively, you know, he's right up there with Jordan, too, at a point in his career when he was playing.
So, wait a minute, B. Are you playing the middle of the road? I'm telling you, if you had to pick between one of those two guys to start your team, you're taking LeBron over Michael Jordan?
I'm taking LeBron James over Michael Jordan. Here's why.
Oh, look at you, these millennials, these young guys.
No.
Whatever happened yesterday, Mark, is better than whatever happened in the past.
I don't believe that.
I love old school music, and I think that is still outshining the music that's coming out today. I got an old soul, so I don't think what's new today is better than what came yesterday.
I just think we're losing. It's been 20 years, and I think we're losing focus on MJ. No matter what you think about him, I just think we're losing it because it's been too long.
Well, here's another thing, too, Rob, just to bring it back on this LeBron James topic. And it's not that we're losing focus. The problem is that there's so much in circulation right now as far as the way the media train turns, the way social media turns, that it's easy to take things for granted. And I think that LeBron James lives in an era where there's so much consumption of a person. You know, you can have too much of a good thing. Or if you saw a pretty person every day, you're like, oh, it becomes a normal thing to you. You know, Michael Jordan had the beauty of disappearance. And so the edification made it stronger as well, too. So when you look back on the nostalgia, you don't have so much consumption of a star in yesterday's world as you do in today's. So I think a lot of his game, you know, it gets taken for granted because you see it so much. And the reason why I would start my franchise, well, he's going to save me money. I don't have to put necessarily the most expensive pieces next to him to win a championship.
What? You need three stars in order to play for LeBron. LeBron, he always has to have the deck stacked.
Two and a half. I'll go 2.5.
Brandon, where do you have them this year? Are the Lakers good enough to win a championship?
I think the Lakers are good enough to win a championship, and I believe that they are going to win a championship. The NBA is more wide open than it ever has been before. What I really love, too, is the addition. People don't talk about this a lot. I spent some time working in the G League. Hosting a weekly show, G League Weekly, and sideline reporting as well. They have Quinn Cook on their team, too, which I think is going to be a great backup point guard coming up into their system. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. But what I love about that hire is showing that the Lakers are actually looking deeper into the talent pool, and I feel like they built their roster the right way this year, which is why I never understood Why wait for Kawhi Leonard? You have the money to build a well-rounded team. These past couple of years, teams that had depth have been winning championships.
Because LeBron wants a stacked deck. You know that. So because you think the Lakers are going to win the championship, of course we got a wing bet going, right?
You want to bet me wings?
Yes, 20 wings, Wingstop, Hooters, Buffalo Wild Wings, whatever your choice is, and a large Diet Coke.
And it's Lakers or the field?
I have the field. You have the Lakers. You just said it. You're backing off?
I'll take it. No, I'll take it. Lakers or the field, I got the Lakers.
Hey, Brandon, Frank Vogel says LeBron is bought all in. So that should be worth a championship and some wings.
When is LeBron James not bought all in? You know, the thing about him is, are they going to get a coach that's going to buy into what LeBron James is doing too? Because most of the issue with this, with Frank Vogel hire, in my opinion, is that I feel like, which we never talked about either, Rob, is that LeBron James doesn't necessarily get the best coaches all of the time. Frank Vogel was their third option, I believe. They interviewed two. They wanted Jason Kidd. They looked at Tyronn Lue. And then they finally decided on Frank Vogel. So I believe that one thing that could be an X factor here is the coaching situation as well. How long will Frank Vogel stay? Is it going to be an issue with Jason Kidd being on the bench this season as well? You also have who's the third assistant coach?
I can't even remember the third one. I know they just hired.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was it Larry Drew?
Larry Drew there?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember
who. He was a head coach as well. I can't think of it right now either. But they do have a good coaching stable. The question is, who's going to be running that show from there? Because when it gets down to the playoffs and the championship, you know, X's and O's, game management, player rotation, that's going to become important. And that was an issue last year. They had terrible player rotation.
No doubt about it. Hey.
And hopefully.
Go ahead. Last piece.
And hopefully Frank can shore that up.
We shall see what happened. His name is Brandon Wellington, actor on Orange is the New Black, which was released today, the final season, number 7. And thanks for being on Celebrity Corner, my friend. We appreciate you.
Be well.
Rob Parker, thank you for having me. Mark, thank you for having me.